I would like to introduce Luminar Sadar. We are going to be talking about breaking through tough issues with the neuromodulation technique. Hi, I'm pretty sure I probably butchered your name there a little bit, didn't I?
Oh, I think you did just great.
I did? Oh, good. Yay. All right. Your name is so beautiful, and I'm like, oh, I don't want to get that wrong. So I am so jazzed to have you today, you know, and just talking about something that I know is so near and dear to your heart, and I'm going to learn a lot. So I'm really excited to be able to talk to somebody that I don't know the subject too well, because I feel like I get to learn just like the listeners listening right now.
Mm-hmm. I know how that is.
So as a holistic practitioner, what would you say is going on with a child who has symptoms of autism?
Well, you've probably interviewed so many people already, and, you know, people are probably getting a good feel for this. And I believe really strongly that it's a whole bunch of things gone wrong within the body that are caused by toxins. And you know, toxins just disrupt how our body normally functions. And those toxins can come from the womb. They can come, you know, from the mom who's toxic to begin with. And, of course, they come from our environment in so many different ways. Like, I think through water, pesticides runoff, through food. Again, pesticides, herbicides, and non-nutritious food. So we're just kind of, I don't know, not really putting nutrition into the body, but also like cans and plastics and all the artificial stuff that we have, plus artificial ingredients. I believe vaccines are a piece of that because they're made specifically to irritate the immune system, and I think it's over-irritating and then creating disruption there. And I think the immune system's very confused. I think the nervous system is very confused. And if you actually kind of look with a fine scope inside the body, you'll see all these areas that really aren't working well. And on the outside, it looks like the different behaviors we see, like stimulation or lack of sensory integration, or, you know, it looks like someone's not responding to their name, or they don't make eye contact, or their pupils are dilated, or they have rashes, or whatever. There's so many different symptoms, right? But I think it really starts with what's going on internally.
Now, you know, when you're talking about all the symptoms, and what do you think the causes are?
Well, I really think I think that toxins start it. So, you know, let's just take mercury or aluminum or whatever that could be in a vaccine. Those things aren't supposed to be in our body. So our body might have an irritating response. The toxin might get stuck on a cell membrane that's supposed to, let's say, take a neurotransmitter in, so then that's not functioning. So those are just a couple examples. And then I think the body has to work around that. So it devises ways to work around that. It's kind of like if you have I'll just use the example of a printing press. You know, you have one mechanical thing that goes to another, that goes to another, that goes to another. In the end, you get a magazine or a newspaper or whatever your output is, your reading material. And if something in that printing press is broken, then, you know, it's not going to function. But our bodies are so wise that it'll find a way around, right? It'll find the best way around that broken part. And that might create dysfunction down the line somewhere else. So that's what I really think it is. I think that our bodies have an innate intelligence of how to function and how to heal themselves. But if there's all these roadblocks to doing that, which I really believe are toxins, and that's a really broad category, you know, toxins, then we can't heal very well, and then we find the next best workaround.
Now, what is the most important thing to help heal autism? I mean, I feel like there's probably so many things, but I guess if you could pick one, right, what do you think the most important thing is?
Well, you know, I don't know if there's one most important, but I would say there's kind of there's two things. I mean, there's broad categories of two things that are super important. One is what I see in my practice is I see, and I've heard this from other practitioners, is that kids' detoxification systems aren't working, right? That's that whole MTHFR mutations, and they're just not able to get toxins out of the cells and out of the body. So I think the first thing is to get that working. Right? So you need to start start getting the toxins out of the body? And like, that's the trick, right? That's the million-dollar question, a million-dollar question. And then the second thing is, I think because our society is so geared towards what we call food, you know, like fast food and junk food and processed food, that, and even some whole foods that are grown in a not very, not kind of a holistic ground or environment. And so they don't have all the minerals and all the nutrients. So our food is depleted. And so we're not getting that good stuff through our food. So, you know, two things. Get the junk out of the body, like take the garbage out, and put good stuff in so that all those body functions can start working really well so they have the building blocks they need. So those are, I would want to say, the two main things that we need to do with a body, with someone who's expressing the symptoms of autism. And the third thing is what I see. I think a lot of that detoxing and putting the good nutrients in, and the body will, and with its innate, you know, healing mechanisms, it will begin to start righting itself. But one of the things I use to get the mechanisms working internally, besides stuff from the outside, besides nutrients and supplements, besides detoxification, stuff that's going to pull things out of the body, is I use the process called neuromodulation technique. And that's where it's kind of like remodeling that printing press, right? It's like putting new parts in the printing press, or a self-healing for the printing press that I talked about earlier, for all those biochemical systems. Does that make sense so far?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And as you were talking about, you know, getting the junk out, you know, we talk about this a lot in our community, but, you know, for the families listening, it really is true. What we put in our bodies has a direct effect on how we act, feel, and behave. And so if our kids' bodies, or even ourselves, you know, what we're in, you know, taking in, if we're putting in junk, how do we expect the output, you know, for in our input? You know, it's like, it's kind of like what you put in comes out, and you are what you eat. And so I, you know, I'm sure you are the same way. We speak to so many different families, and, you know, it makes sense to me when a child is eating a whole bunch of junk and they're not feeling good. You know, like I don't, to me, that's common sense. So yeah, everything you're saying so far makes complete sense to me.
Okay, good. Do you want me to go ahead and explain about neuromodulation, since that, I think that's
what you were talking about? Yeah, you were talking about the third thing, so I didn't want to interrupt you.
Well,
the third thing is the
neuromodulation. Yeah. That's, and I could go ahead and explain what that is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Please.
I'm going to break down the words first. I'm going to start with neuro for nervous system, and modulation, which means to modulate, change, adjust, you know, kind of rewire, so to speak. And it's neuromodulation technique, so I am going to refer to it as NMT, just because it's less of a mouthful. So if I'm doing NMT, what I'm looking at is the nervous system that controls, you know, well, we think the nervous system controls everything in the body, but really it's a complex interrelational working between the nervous system and the immune system and the lymphatic system and, you know, the digestive, all the systems. So I can't say anymore that one is more important than another. But anyway, it's called NMT, so we'll stick with that. And what happens in that process is, if people are not familiar with muscle testing, or it's also called applied kinesiology, it's a method to ask the body questions. And it's not like asking, I'm not like asking you, Kristen, hey, what color is your blouse today? Not something that you can answer with your conscious mind. It's something that your unconscious or other than conscious mind knows, but our conscious mind doesn't know. So for example, something like that would be, I might ask about what the immune system is doing, or I might ask about neurotransmitters, or about how much mercury is perceived in the system, or about a particular biochemical reaction. So there's about 6 million chemical reactions that go on every second in the body. I mean, that's a huge amount of number. That's a huge number. We don't need to know about them consciously. We don't know when we're digesting. We don't need to know what hormones released when. That's that stuff that gets taken care of by the other than conscious mind. So when we muscle test someone, we're checking the strength or weakness of a muscle by asking a yes or no question. So I might ask, you know, a very simple question, is there a perceived allergy to a peanut? And I'll get a strong response, which is a no, or a weak response, which is a yes. Okay, so we have a method to ask the unconscious mind all kinds of questions. So what I have found over the many years of working with this modality is that you can ask the body any question you want. The key is to ask the question that's going to give you a really significant or meaningful information, right? Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Okay. So over time, I've developed the certain questions that I want to ask, and it's like an assessment. I'm looking at what's going on in the digestive system. I'm looking at how leaky is the gut. I'm looking at those gut lining cells that are supposed to be, you know, absorbing nutrients. Is there inflammation? Are they efficiently absorbing the nutrients? Are they degraded? Is there a lot of toxic bacteria in there? Is there a lot of yeast? You know, so we can ask the body those kinds of questions. And once there's a picture of what's going on, then what I do, and so that's, I use muscle testing to do that. And then there's a way that I have to create that awareness for the whole body. If someone has, let's say they're not getting rid of a particular toxin or that methylation isn't working correctly, well, why isn't it working correctly? You know, our body's made to self-heal. Well, one thing is there can be toxins sitting there, so why isn't the body getting the toxins off? Well, we make the premise or the assumption in the NMT model that there's part of the system that isn't aware that this dysfunction is going on. So there's a lack of awareness. Now, maybe part of the system, you know, somewhere in your body's aware, but part of it isn't. So a big piece of the neuromodulation is that once I do the assessment and I ask the body, hey, what do you see here? What do you see there? I reflect that back. So I act as a mirror and I reflect that awareness back to the entire system. So I have a way to make the entire system aware of that. And what I see sometimes even is like once that that awareness of where the dysfunction is, once the whole system is aware of that, it can start repairing, right? Because we have that ability. That's built in. Now, what I find with autism is there's so many dysfunctional things going on. Picture a ball of yarn or, you know, a bunch of yarn that's in like a lot of knots, right? And it's not, you know, you have to get all these knots out. Maybe there's 50 different knots in the ball of yarn. So this is kind of an analogy for the body systems. I'll find like I'll have to pull one piece of yarn and then I'll pull another piece of yarn, like carefully, piece by piece, right, to untangle the knot. Is that making sense so far?
Yes, absolutely.
So that's what I do in the process of neuromodulation. So I look, again, just to summarize, I look at where the dysfunction is, and there's a lot of things to look at. I look at creating awareness, right, reflecting that awareness back to the system. And then, like I said, sometimes the body systems start, you know, to right themselves, but sometimes they need a little push in the right direction or a little retraining. And what I found is that, you know, unfortunately, the older the child or once we get into like young adulthood, the more habitual patterns there are in the body and kind of the longer it takes to retrain the system. So, for example, let's say, let's just say someone has verbal stims, right? And they keep repeating the same thing. And that might be you know, some kind of pattern, whether it's for comfort or for soothing or for whatever reason it's going on. And that's the body's kind of default pattern. So what we want to do with the NMT is give the system another choice, something that's more appropriate physiologically, that's more, you know, what the body's supposed to be doing. And so it just might take a little bit of training, a few times of like maybe working with the nervous system to go, hey, you can take this other path. So that's the process of the NMT. It's kind of retraining. So for sensory integration, let's say someone has a delay in their speech, in their hearing, right? They hear something and then it takes a second or two to process it. And then already the conversation has gone on. and they're kind of left out. So what I would do is work with those parts of the brain or the nervous system and those connections, and maybe we need to take toxins out, or maybe we just need to sort of rebuild isn't quite the right word, but maybe assess what's not working properly with that communication in the neurons, and to make that communicate properly. So there's like what I call a clinical pathway I can use to look at various things there. So I'm looking at mistakes that the body's making. And then I'm going, okay, you're making this mistake. You could be doing it this way. Would you prefer to do it this way? Because then that would get you, you know, to doing, you know, things more properly. And the body's like, oh, sure, I'll take that. And so it's a training. Is that making sense? Or yeah. Do you have any questions about that?
No, I think it's, you're breaking it down so nicely. I think the listeners right now are, for me, I'm following just perfect. So I think they're catching on real quick.
Yeah, it's a very systematic, it's a very detailed process. So I can look at, you know, what neurotransmitters are working or not working, what chemical in the cell membrane is working or not working. I can look at any level of detail I want. And this is where my background as a molecular biologist comes in, because I worked in the biotech industry for almost 20 years. And I was trained, in genetics and cell biology, and I was a molecular biologist. So I love to get in down and dirty in the biochemistry of the body, and anything I can research and learn about, I can apply in NMT, because I can then ask the body, hey, are you doing this biochemical reaction? Or, hey, is this pesticide or herbicide or metal getting in the way of this reaction? And I can get an answer from the body. Kind of cool.
And when you're testing the body, you know, maybe explain that a little bit. Like, how are you finding out each thing? Is there different types of forms, the way how you're doing it?
It's all through muscle testing. So that's that yes, no. And mm-hmm. And it's just the key is asking the right question.
Okay. And the muscle just knows. It's just the way our bodies are designed is how you're explaining it. It just knows if it's deficient or if it's toxic or, you know, whatever the question might be, I guess.
Yeah, well, what I do is I ask first that the unconscious mind or whatever, other than conscious, I'm not sure what to call it. You can call it many things. I always start a session by asking if their other than conscious mind can go ahead and scan their body systems. And I might look specifically, like I might have them go through the digestive tract with a fine-tooth comb or the brain with a fine-tooth comb and ask, look for this. Look for the cell membrane. Look for the mitochondria. Look for the genetics. Look for, you know, how these cells are functioning. So if you ask the body to look for it, it will go look. Now, maybe it's never looked at that before. So
now, what about a child that might not understand that? Like, I understand if it's an adult. Like, but do you believe that the body hears that, and or is there a different technique for children?
Yeah. So actually, you don't have to understand what I'm asking at a conscious level. So remember, I said that we are talking to the other than conscious mind.
Yeah.
So I don't even have to say the words out loud.
Oh wow.
So. Yeah, so maybe I should explain that. Like, we make a connection mind to mind, like we agree to do that. It's kind of almost as if I knock on the child's door and he says, yes, you can come in, you can look inside, you know, and there's cooperation with the parent and with the child. Like, I will never read anybody who I don't, you know, have permission from. So part of my process is that the parent gives me permission to go ahead and read what's going on in their child, and I feel an openness from the child. I mean, I have a lot of intuitive sense about things as well. And then when I'm doing the muscle testing, I'm talking to the unconscious mind or other than conscious mind, and that's where I'm just saying, hey, other than conscious mind, go look for all this stuff. And it looks for it, and then I start asking questions. Is it this or is it that? Is it, you know, yes, no. Yes, no questions. Does that make sense?
No, absolutely. So as you're asking the questions, you know, I'm starting to think, you know, when we're looking at behaviors and the external part of that, right, associated with autism, what about what might be going on internally? Like, is that what you're asking the questions, you know, for that body to be able to look at and to kind of give you those answers internally?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, having done enough research and heard other practitioners and other experts and had enough clients, there's a little bit of a picture that develops. So if someone's doing a particular behavior, I might go, oh, I have to look at, you know, the sympathetic nervous system, which is that fight or flight behavior. That's probably switched on. And I have to look at that, or the adrenals, you know, or, oh, I probably should look at the thyroid on this, or, oh, this looks like a mitochondrial issue. So I kind of have clues just from the behavior based on, you know, what's known and my experience of what to look for. So that narrows it in for me a little bit. And then, like, let's say I'll start looking at the gut, and I'll start looking at leaky gut, and I'll start looking at whether there's particular toxins or something. Like, one of the things that I really like to check for is, many people might have heard genetically modified organisms. And one of the genetically modified organisms that's out there is corn. And inside corn, the scientists put what's called the BT toxin. And when the BT toxin is in the corn, that gene is in with the corn genome, what happens is it produces a protein that will kill the bugs that try and eat the corn, a particular bug, right? And the way it does that is it pokes holes in the guts of the gut of the insect. So one of the things I like to look for is whether any of the microbes in the gut of the children have this BT toxin inserted, because all the bacteria and the different bugs in there, bugs by meaning microbes in the gut, can exchange genetic information. So if one microorganism or some DNA gets in there and has that BT toxin, it can get into the microorganisms and it can then be perpetuating this BT toxin in the gut. I find that a lot. So that's one of the things I can ask for in the gut and look for specifically. So,
wow. And then what happens when you find that? Like, you know, obviously that's clearly maybe explaining some of the behaviors we see in, you know, as you were talking about with children, especially children with autism. And I like that, because it's often they can't tell you, you know, why they might be frustrated or,
right,
you know, having temper tantrums, you know. So now what? So you find that. Now what do you do?
Yeah. So if I find something like that, and that could be leading to a leaky gut or allergies, right, which can lead to different behaviors, what I'll do is I'll say, hey, this is what this looks like in your body. You've identified it. You know it's there. And then I'll say to the immune system, I mean, it's not really like this, but we'll say, like, I have a conversation with the immune system, and I'll say, see this microbe with the BT toxin? You want to get rid of all of these, because we don't want that BT toxin, and make sure the BT toxin gets out of the body. So it's basically using the body's own mechanisms to get rid of what doesn't belong. And what I find for that particular case, when and I have a way to measure the perception of how many or how burdensome that BT toxin-containing microbe is. So what I find is when that starts to go away, that those microbes with the BT toxin, well, plus I'm doing a lot of other things at the same time, right? Remodulating the whole way the gut works. But what I find is that then kids start to get better, because their gut starts to heal and they feel better and they don't have the tummy problems and they start losing the food allergies and sensitivities. So it improves a lot of things.
That's amazing to me. And now as you're talking, my brain's kind of like starting to think, okay, so what happens when you're finding more than one thing? Or is it that when you're doing this, you're only looking for one thing at a time?
Oh, good question. No, there's definitely more than one thing. I mean, that's the conundrum with the symptoms of autism, is that there's definitely more, like I mentioned, that big ball of yarn that has a lot of tangles and knots in it. That BT toxin in the microbe would be one little knot. And then another knot might be the way the neurons are communicating. Another knot might be, you know, allergy behavior and rashes. Another knot might be, you know, other gut dysbiosis for other reasons. So there's a lot of things to look at. That's just one example. When I take in a new client, I do like an assessment on 10 different things. And like, I'll look at heavy metals, I'll look at allergies, I'll look at infectious agents, I look at a whole bunch of things. And then during the session, I say, okay, body, here's your picture of what's going on. Where do you want me to start first? And the body will choose what's the biggest priority. It could be getting rid of those BT toxin containing microbes, or it could be one thing I find a lot is kids don't have very good drainage in their lymphatic system. And that's the lymphatic system is what basically carries the garbage away from all the cells. It carries it, through the circulatory system, and then it'll dump it in the liver so the liver can process it, and then it'll go outside the body. Kids who are very congested in their lymph, I might work on that first thing. I'm finding that to be really, really critical, because if they're not letting go of toxins, then everything they're putting in their body is just like kind of like a traffic jam, it's kind of jamming up or not getting in.
You're talking about, certain things you've been finding a lot of. Is there other things that you typically find, with children with autism, or is each one pretty unique?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would have to say it's a little bit of a combination. So like I said, drainage is one of the big things that I find. I mean, I think you know this too, and many of your other speakers will probably say that they're not detoxing well. So that's a common thread. But the way what might be dysfunctional in each person might be slightly different. So someone might have the MTHFR mutation. Some people might have, heavy metals that are blocking that. Some people might have allergy to heavy metals, which makes the situation worse. And some people might, have more glutathione or liver level or kidney dysfunction. So what's actually going on in each person, it might be a little bit different. But I would say the common denominator is dysfunction in many systems and inability to detox. Everyone has a different unique body. Everyone has a different experience, right? We all have our own unique genetics. Even identical twins have different genetic variations. Because of epigenetics, right? How the environment affects our genes. Everyone's going to have a weakness and a strength in their body, right? My kidneys might be strong where your kidneys might be weak, for example. We're all going to have different exposures to the environment. So we're all a little different in that regard. I do find commonly in the kids, the more severe the autism, I find the more gut dysbiosis, like the more wrecked the gut is. And again, the more they can't get rid of toxins. But I'll tell you one thing, all parents should know this, is that I'd say 80 to 90% of the time, you can get their lymph moving through homeopathic drainage remedies. And you should talk to your practitioner about that, about getting the lymph moving, getting the liver moving, getting the kidneys moving, and the gallbladder. What I see is most of the kids I work with are so sensitive to energies. They're sensitive to EMFs. They're sensitive to other people's energy. They're sensitive to their parents' emotions. But they're also sensitive to homeopathic remedies. And those are really great for getting their stuff flowing and out.
Well, and I think it's fascinating how many different, techniques that are out there, and yet it seems as though we're still not talking about holistic approaches the way we should be. I mean, I'm listening to everything you're saying, and I'm thinking, I don't think we're talking about it enough still. I mean, I go to a lot of conferences, and I hear little things about it here and there, but, after 13 years of conferences, why don't I even know more about this? It seems like I should know more, and I don't. So I'm finding everything you're saying, when you're asking me, do you have any questions, I'm just trying to take it all in, because I'm like, I don't know a lot about the subject, which, it's not that I know about every subject, but I usually know a little bit about each subject at the very least, and I really don't know much about this one at all, and I don't get why we're not talking about it more, When we're talking about this, is there something you think that people are just maybe not understanding? Or why aren't we talking about this in autism? I don't get it. What are we missing?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. I think that part of that is that, oh gosh, where do I want to go? There's so much I could explain, like the nature of reality is quantum physics, and this is all based on quantum physics, you know, the NMT. So I think, so that's one piece. If anyone wants to study up on quantum physics and learn that there's certain things about intention and observation, right? If we observe something or if we put an energy out, like, let's say if you're thinking about your kid, and you're like, oh my gosh, he didn't do this to, I don't know what, like he didn't put his shoes away today. You know, I've told him 100 times to put his shoes away and he hasn't put his shoes away. That's one mindset and that's one like energy that's going out from your body. It's like emanating out. And then if you say, versus saying something like, I see he may, you know, like, he put his shoes a little bit closer, or he took his shoes off today. This is really great. Like the next step that he made, like congratulating the next step, that's an energy that you put out. You know, if you find the positive stuff, I think kids pick up on that. And I think the reason this isn't being talked about, back to your question, is that I think it's very hard to prove this stuff scientifically. It's very challenging to do like a double blind placebo test on intentional energetic medicine, because how do you do a double blind placebo controlled when you start putting the factor in that your intention in the experiment matters? Like, do you purposefully have one intention in, you know, in one set of kids and another intention for another set of kids? It just gets really hard to measure. But there's an excellent book that that does investigate the science of quantum physics and like a lot of scientific experiments and even how intention affects the experiments. The book is called The Field by Lynn McTaggart, and that's a really excellent reference if people are into, you know, the science of proving the quantum physics and that this universal field exists, the universal field from which everything comes from. It's like some people can say God or spirit, you know, it's where everything comes from. And we have an influence on that, right? We feed back into that field and the field feeds back to us. And that's part of the quantum physics thing. So it's hard to prove. There are people out there who are doing experiments in quantum physics, but it's really hard for us to understand. It's hard to wrap our brains around. I mean, I'll be the first to tell you, I don't understand everything in quantum physics, but I use it in my work. So I understand it enough to know it's important. There is one study that was done with NMT, and this was published in the journal Explore, I think in the January-February issue of Explore. In 2014, and it's a very small preclinical study in, I think, 12 kids were treated with NMT with various practitioners, and they were treated 2 times a week for 6 weeks. And there was a control group that wasn't treated at all, and nothing else changed. No diet, no supplements, nothing else changed. And it, there showed a significant enough improvement with the kids who had the NMT that I guess the way you conduct clinical trials, if the drug or whatever you're testing works so well, then you're supposed to make the control group take that same drug because it's working so well. So it was that situation where the NMT group was getting so much benefit that, you know, they should have been treating the control group that wasn't getting the NMT. So there's one small study. I don't know about that many other studies that are done on energy medicine. And then, you know, you'll always have people like on Quackwatch or I don't know, whatever, the ones that are always dissing these kinds of technology. Like, I'm sure anything with autism recovery is dissed, right?
Oh, well, even diet, like, it's to me, yeah. Like, you know, I think, my gosh, when I talk to people, I always say, if there's a 1% chance, like, just even up a 1% chance that if you changed your child's diet that you would see any bit of improvement, why would you not try that, you know? And even as you're talking, like, and I'll be honest, like, years ago, when I heard of muscle testing, I remember, I can't remember actually where I was. I just remember I might have been at an expo or something, and somebody was like, okay, hold this bottle of water, and then if your hand goes down, that means that bottle of water is not for you, or it was something like that, or and it was like, or hold this mineral, and like, and I remember watching that thinking, yeah, right, like, I'll be honest, I was like, there's no way, like, come on, and then so I remember going up, and I'm like, holding on, I'm like, I'm not going to let them push my arm down, and I'm sure people listening, I promise you, there has to be others of me out there like this, like, where you're like, all right, I'm going to hold my hand out, and there's no way that I'm going to let you push my hand down, and I like, was like, I remember, like, I think the first thing, I don't remember whatever it was, I put my hand on and, you know, okay, apparently I didn't need that because my hand, my arm, my other arm or whatever didn't do anything. And then went through a couple of things, and it was really interesting to me because whatever the thing was, and I don't remember what it was, I should probably remember, clearly I need it because I don't remember what it was. But my arm went all the way down. And then I had this theory of like, okay, that's because like the first four times I like gave it my all, and maybe my arm just got tired or something. Like, I like completely like rationalized it in my head. And, you know, I'm like, there's just no way. There's just no way. And so like, I think the expo was like 3 days or so. And so I went back, I think it was like the third day. I didn't go back the second day. I went back the third day. And I'm like, you know what? Try that same thing again. Like, because I wanted it to be the first thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, my arm completely went like all jello and like went down. I'm like, how are you guys doing this? Like, that doesn't even make sense to me. So I definitely, as much as I don't understand it, you know, for those out there that might be listening that are, you know, skeptical and they're thinking, yeah, give me a break, you know, kind of thing. I was right there with you. Truly, I was. And until you experience and you can't actually, there's really no rhyme or reason in my mind, like how else could it have happened, you know? Even when I went to try to, like, debunk it, you know, the theory on the third day, right? And so, you know, I don't understand it. And this is what I've learned is, especially in autism, I don't have to understand everything. If it's not going to hurt our children to try something, to me, why not? You know, like, I don't have to, like, have the answers to everything. I don't have to have the, you know, well, I do this because X, Y, and Z, and I don't have to always have the whys, you know, behind how everything happens. Because I feel like, especially in autism, what are we going to do? We're going to wait another 25 years before somebody wants to spend a lot of money on a published study, right? That, you know, maybe is now going to prove whatever, whether it be diet or whether it be biomedical treatments or whether it be this what we're talking about or whatever that is. Or do you want to just jump in and go, all right, I know it doesn't make sense to me and I didn't go to school for this, but I'm going to, you know, I'm going to try it. To me, I think of it almost like I have no clue how a mechanic understands a car, right? I don't even really know where the little oil stick thing goes because I have never in my life changed my oil, like in my car. I would have no clue how to do it. I don't even actually know where the water is. I really don't. Like, I go to the mechanic person and they do it all for me because that's what they know how to do. It's interesting, though. We never ask the mechanic, you know, how do you know how to do that? How do you know that? Like, how do you know this? How do you know this? Like, or the diagnostic thing. Like, how do you know that's really right and you're not just charging me, you know, $200 for that? It's, you just trust it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of feel like some of the tools you're talking about is kind of like the human diagnostic test. You're kind of plugging into, regardless if it's energy or, you know, how, your subconscious mind or your unconscious mind or however you described it. And, you know, sometimes we just have to take a leap of faith and go, I don't understand it. And it's totally okay that I don't understand it, but she understands it. And that's all that matters. So
yeah.
That's my thought on it, at least.
Well, I kind of, two things pop into my head when you say that. One is, when I first started doing this, I actually started with NAET, which is Nabudripod's Allergy Elimination Technique, as a patient. I mean, I had allergies, and so I went, and she would have me hold vials, and she would push my arm down, and she wouldn't even be saying the thing out loud, and I'm like, wait a minute, how do you know? You know, and I was responding appropriately, and I said, how do you know? And so this is what she told me, and I love this explanation, because I was a scientist. I was in biotech, you know. I was, like, working on the, you know, part of the sequencing the human genome and all that, and I'm like, wait a minute, how can you do this? She said, you know, our body has, like, an electrical system, like an energy system, and, you know, we may not understand it. An acupuncturist or a Chinese medicine doctor may understand how that works, but I don't understand it. Well, now I understand a little bit. But we don't, like you said, we don't have to understand how it works. And then one thing I loved is she said, you know, electricity has always been around, right? Since who knows when, the beginning of time. And we didn't understand it until we did, right? Ben Franklin and electricity, and then we started using it. But it's always been there. So it's a system in our body that's always been there. And I think the Chinese have been using it for 5,000 years. But we can start using it, this whole energy system, and talking to the unconscious mind. So a lot like your mechanic example. So that's the first thing that came into my head. The second thing that came into my head is I totally get the skepticism. Like I said, I'm a scientist. I was totally skeptical. Even though I would watch people change in front of my eyes, and I changed in front of my eyes, I was still skeptical. I was a tough one. So what I do is on my website, I actually, you know, when I work with a client, I'll have them email me ahead of time and say, oh, what changes have you seen from last time? And they'll give me a whole list, and then I'll talk to them, and they'll be like, oh, I forgot to say this and this and this and this. So when they give me that, I put that on my website and said, these are the changes. Look, this is what's happened. And so people can read through those, and, you know, you believe it or you don't. I'm not going to convince you. I don't mind one way or another if you believe it or not. But
if your body starts to feel better, or your kid starts to seem to behave better, you know, and how fast do you usually see, especially when you're, you know, I think it might be different if it's like a parent, and let's say, like, for example, your example was allergies, right? Mm-hmm. So you would notice pretty quick if your allergies were clearing up, you know, or you were feeling better. What about for a child that is, you know, limited language or no language? And, you know, how fast do you, in your practice, do you see a child, you know, clearly it's not going to go from day to night, you know, where it's complete 100% change, I'm assuming. But you're, with autism, it seems, at least my experience with autism, seems to be everything's very gradual. How long do you typically see before whatever you're working on, whatever part of that body, do you see, you know, a remarkable change for that child?
Yeah, well, I just want to say that because it's like that big tangled ball of yarn, and a lot of systems are dysfunctional and interrelated, it can take a little while. But what I typically see first off is after first session, I will typically hear a report back from the parent that they had a big, stinky, smelly poop that night.
I was like, just going to ask, did they poop?
Especially kids who have been constipated. Yeah. And what happens is their body wants to eliminate, right? So we get them eliminating. And then the next common thing I hear is they sleep really well that night, even if they hadn't been sleeping well. So there's a calmness that happens in the body. Some of the other things I don't necessarily hear after the first session. It could take two or three sessions. Like, the anxiety will decrease. The comprehension will improve. I'll see eye contact improve. And, you know, parents sometimes have a feel for what's going on with their kid. You know how close you are to your child, right? Mm-hmm. And you can kind of read them. Some people can't even describe what's different, but they know something's different. Some people will say that they're more grounded, and maybe some people don't understand what that is, but more grounded and, like, more present in their body. Those are some of the top things I can think of that can happen right away. Kids start eating new foods, you know, really picky eaters will start eating more. I think they have more zest, more life. So those
they're
are some of the common
open.
Things.
It sounds like their channels are more open. Now, you talked about the ball of yarn. That made me think of something. So let's say you're helping one part of the system, and then, like, you go into another part of the system. Does that other system that you already helped, does that stay helped? Or now that you've kind of gone into, like, the zigzag, or, you know, this kind of maze within the body, for lack of a better, you know, analogy, is it that once you fix it, is it one of those things that stays fixed, or is it one of those things of, it's kind of like you push one button and that stays down for a little bit, but now you go push that button. No, shoot, that button popped up again, so you got to go back. I mean, that's how I'm thinking of it, but maybe I'm wrong.
That's a good question. Well, first of all, I don't work on just one system at a time. So that's really key. Like, if I do an assessment and I'll find, you know, a lot of microbes and a lot of toxins and a lot of, let's say, lymphatic congestion, I work on all those at once. So it's kind of a gradual unwinding and a gradual, taking those knots out. Sometimes I find when I work more holistically like that, things go a little bit slower, but I know that there's action happening at a lot of different levels. Let me give an example of when I went in for my allergies, my vision spontaneously improved. So I had 2 NMT sessions, and 90% of my allergy symptoms were gone, and they were bad. You know, I couldn't go outside. I was just sneezing, and my eyes were running, and it was awful. So imagine that, 90% gone, and then my vision spontaneously improved, and then I worked on my vision, and it improved by my contact lens or my glasses prescription went down by 33%.
Oh, my gosh.
And I would go into the NMT session, and I was working with my eye doctor, so I would have a lens that was like less than what perfect vision was for me. And he would do the session, and like instantly, my vision was clear. So this stuff
did it stay clear?
Yes, it stayed clear.
Wow.
And then I would go the next time, and it would like be peeling off another layer, and then boom, my vision would clear again.
How much money did you spend on glasses? I imagine you had to keep getting new glasses.
I was working with an optometrist and a vision therapist, so I was doing vision exercises. But my optometrist would give me, the free contact lenses you get when you go to try out whether they work for you, and she would give me like half a diopter less and half a diopter less. So she would just give me free ones, and then once I got to a place where I wanted to be for a little while, then I invested the money in the glasses. And then I kind of don't want to start it again, because then I'll have to go through that. Oh, do I have to spend more money on my glasses, on my contacts? But
I think that's awesome. I mean, I feel like as we get older, especially your eyes, oh my gosh, I feel like my eyes are constantly every year. I'm like, oh, I think it's all the computers that we stare at. I'm not sure. I have so enjoyed talking with you. One of my questions is, how much does this cost for a family? You know, it's interesting. You know, it used to be acupuncture wasn't covered by insurance, and now a lot of insurances are covering that, right? Which is funny, too, because I remember at least when I first got into the autism community with my son, you know, people would talk about acupuncture, but it wasn't really the norm, 13 years ago. And I feel like now, like, you could be at the nail salon or the hair salon, and, like, just the general public will be like, oh, yeah, I had to go to my acupuncturist, and you're like, wait, what? Like, it's cool, but it's just so funny to me now. Because they somehow think, that they discovered it or something. it's like the new trend or something. I don't know. So I'm wondering if like this will become the new trend at some point, because literally I don't remember people talking about acupuncture in the same way they do today, or even chiropractic, care the same way they do today. How much does this typically cost for a family, and, is insurance covered, or, how does that work?
Okay. That's a good question. I want to first say that, about acupuncture and all that, it's more popular because it works, because people get results. Mm-hmm. And also, many people probably know about NAET, that's Nabudripod Allergy Elimination Technique. And, I had that done on me almost 20 years ago, and now it's just starting to become, known. So, like they say, it takes, 17 years from something in the scientific literature to be discovered, quote-unquote discovered, and then to be more common. So it's NMT was out there, I think, in 2002. So it's already been, 15 years. And hopefully it'll become more and more mainstream, known, and people will have more and more knowledge and experience with it and see how truly amazing it is. The costs vary. It depends on who you go to. My sessions, it depends on the package prices. So I would say the sessions run anywhere from I could include a whole bunch of other things in my sessions, so it's not just NMT.
Yeah.
But I would say an NMT session might run you anywhere from $100 to $250 a session, which is about an hour. But when I do my packages, because autism is a marathon, not a sprint, what I do is I give people a package where we work together for a year, and I think that's around $3,500. I can't remember exactly.
But
sorry, I didn't
break
look that up.
No, but you probably break it up into payments and all that good stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
Too, right?
And yeah. As far as I know, no insurance will cover it. It's certainly not from me. I think if you find an acupuncturist or a chiropractor who's doing NMT, you know, I think they do shorter sessions and I don't know. I can't speak for anyone else who does it, but you might be able to somehow get some insurance reimbursement
What's the thing in the insurance? We don't have it, but I know a lot of people do, where you put money in and you can use it for, you know, your pharmacy stuff. What is it called? The health care.
It's like a health savings account.
Yes, yes. And so you're not being might be something that, because you can use it for anything, right? Anything related to your health. Yeah, and so that might be a good avenue for families out there that I know a lot of companies offer it, majority of them do, and a lot of times people don't even know to ask their company, you know, if they can have that. But it's, they don't tax the dollars on that, so it's pre-tax dollars and you save. I mean, honestly, if you think about it, we're being taxed like 30% or so, right? So it's actually, to me, I look at it as like a 30-plus percent savings, you know. And so that might be a way to kind of help with the cost. I'm a mom, you know, always thinking of ways, how do we save dollars? And
Absolutely. So
I think that's, a great avenue. But, you know, there's so, especially in autism, everything costs so much. And if this is something that you can, you know, see, you know, positive results and you're seeing, I mean, the fact that the child that you're, this analogy you gave, you know, or the story you gave was, you know, slept better or they pooped. Oh, my gosh. I mean, there's times when I've had my son where back in the early parts of the days where he was constipated and I think I would have given, like, my right kidney for him to poop. Because you want them to feel better and do better. And so I love the fact that your therapy is non-invasive and, you know, and it's something that a parent, you know, that can really consider. And that's what I love about these summits is it's a whole bunch of options, kind of like a menu. And you can kind of look and learn. And maybe it's not something you do right away, but it's something you tuck back in the back of your mind. And then you say, oh, yeah, what's that thing I was learning about like 3 months ago, you know, or last year? And I do that all the time. I think a lot of people do, right? We learn something and we don't always do it right away. And then when we do it, we go, gosh, why didn't we do that first? So I've learned so much from you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. That reminds me of one more thing is that the question just popped up in my head is people ask, well, can I do NMT? I've already seen a naturopath or an acupuncturist or something. NMT, so I was just working with someone whose child was doing neurofeedback, and she wasn't seeing much progress. And so it was time for our NMT session, and she said, well, I'm not seeing much. We've gone to 3 or 6 or however many sessions, and I'm not really seeing anything. And I said, well, let me enhance that. We'll work on that with the NMT, and I'll enhance whatever's going on with the neurofeedback. And then I think they went to neurofeedback the next day, and she saw huge changes.
Wow.
So I want to say NMT can boost whatever else is going on because we can look at that particular area of the brain or the gut or whatever. And I wanted to say something else about, you were talking about the cost, and before we started the interview, you were mentioning that, you tried RPM, it was $150 an hour, and then you needed like 6 months to see some results, or, you know, they said give it 6 months. So $150 twice a week at six months.
Yeah.
I don't know how much that is. I know I'm not doing the math right now, but.
Well, we were only doing it once a week, $150, and that was still going to be $600 a month, which is more than my car payment, you know? And so a lot more than my car payment. And so it was one of those things where it was like, all right, we want to try. We only did 2 sessions. And again, I'm not knocking that therapy if it works for other people, but for us, it didn't, at the moment at least. But yeah, I mean, that's why when you said your cost, that basically means, you know, in 5 months, almost maybe a little more, almost 6 months, 6 months is a whole year for you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it ends up being like around $300 a month. And it's not just the NMT. I mean, what I do also is I check all the supplements that they're testing well for the kids. And what I find a lot is that you're giving your kids lots of supplements. Okay, parents, this is really key. You're on Biomed. You're giving them all these vitamins and minerals and supplements. They're not getting into the cells of the body. That's what I find again and again. I mean, some are, you know, it's just not 100%. It's just not super efficient. And that's where the NMT helps. It's like helps to get them in. But you know, that's one thing. Like, we're spending all this money on our kids. We want to make sure it's getting in. We want to make sure it's being helpful. So I help parents, like, you know, figure that out. I help them with all kinds of other stuff and, you know, guidance on, you know, what are the best supplements or what they're deficient in or what are the best homeopathics. So it's not just the NMT, because I feel like you have to really take a holistic approach. I mean, that's just what feels complete to me. And I just want to mention one more thing, and that is that many people don't ever focus on the emotional component, and that's one of the things I do with NMT. I can work at the biochemical level in the body. I can also work at the energetic level. That's like the energetic meridians that you find in Chinese medicine and chakras. I work at the mental level, so that's beliefs, and I also work at the emotional level. So our kids have so many layers of emotional garbage. I mean, we all do, but you know, you probably can relate to this, Kristen, and probably people listening can relate. Like, how many times have you seen your child with a therapist, or you've been with your child, and then the therapist turns to talk to you and starts talking about your child as if he's not there, as if he's not even hearing? And like, to me, it feels a little bit disrespectful, or it depends on the way they're saying it. But I think that, you know, kids can really take in, they're very sensitive, and they can really take in it might seem like criticism to them, or I'm not good enough, or I can't do this, or they want me to do this and I'm letting them down. Whatever process might be going on, that's like another emotional, you know, pile of stuff that sits in their body, and that can affect physiology. It has a chemical signature, an energetic signature, and it can affect things. So I do tons and tons and tons of emotional release stuff as I'm doing the NMT. So that's another key, that if parents haven't thought about the emotional component, think about that. Think about, you know, think back to some of the things and how sensitive your child is, and, you know, how can you boost their confidence? How can you, you know, kind of put good emotions in them? You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Well, to me, I feel like our kids feel everything, as you were saying before, and I think they even feel more than even just typical children, those on the spectrum. And positivity and positive energy and, you know, positive thinking and all of the above, I feel like goes a long ways. I know with my son, if I'm having kind of a stressful day, and even if I pretend that I'm okay, like I can smile and be like, hi, but like inside I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to do this and I have to do this and I have to do this, you know, kind of feeling, I can see it in his face instantly. Like, he knows I'm putting on a total show, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think that happens with a lot of our kids. But even like, I used to work with typical kids that were in kindergarten and first grade, and I swear those kids, they always knew if you were having a good day or a bad day. It didn't matter how big your smile was.
They read you in a different way.
They do. It's like they have like this energy reader, and I don't know how else to describe it. So, yeah, I feel like, you know, trying to keep yourself as happy and positive, which is hard to say in autism, right? Like, it's hard to – there's going to be good days and there's going to be harder days. And so, you know, I feel like I've known you forever, and I haven't, and I feel like I have all these questions. I'm like, oh my gosh, and then one day, you know, what happened here? But I can't believe our time is nearly up. But, you know, what message would you like to leave our listeners with today? Because I know we talked about a lot.
Yeah. Well, all that I talked about, and just to always keep hope for your child, that your child can feel better, that the behaviors are based on something going on inside the body, and that there's always hope. They can always be better. And that they're there with you. Like, I think they get it. You know, they understand, even if you think they're not comprehending because they're looking away or whatever. I really think they're taking it all in, like we just said. And if you hold that energy of hope for them, they'll grab onto that.
Absolutely. I think that's a great message. And hope, you know, that's the thing. We're always allowed to hope. And like, I'm looking at my office desk right now, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things on my desk all say hope. And other than that, they say believe, you can, and you will, right? And choose happiness. So I think I surround myself with this, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like, parents, like I said, there's hard times, and then there's days where you just appreciate everything, because our kids, they really are in there. It's just trying to figure out how to unlock, you know, their possibilities and not to give up.
Yeah.
So you know, I love what you, your message. How do people find out more about you? Like, what, do you have a website?
Yeah, I, you know what, I just want to say one more message, and that's what I learned from my son. My son, who's 18 now, was my greatest teacher. So what are you learning from your kids? You know, I know we're their teachers, but they're our teachers, so
oh,
I just want to put
absolutely.
That out.
Absolutely. My son
yeah.
is my teacher, and he's a very, very strict professor. I mean, my goodness. Like, his final exams are harder than I've ever done anything in college. But, yeah,
yeah well,
absolutely.
Welcome to parenting, you know.
Right? Oh, goodness. But, yeah, so I know you have a website, so what is your website so people can learn more about you and more about your techniques?
My website is www.autismtransformed.com. That's transform with an E-D, as in past tense, autismtransformed.com. And there I have a contact sheet. I have lots of information. I have lots of videos. I have lots of resources. I've also put on 2 telesummits and 1 right before this. And so there's some information on there where people can, we have very different speakers on your summit and my summit. So there's a whole other slew of information out there. And just get help and support. There's a ton of free things on my website. So go check it out. And, you know, if you haven't heard of things before, you know, there might be a lot of good stuff on there that it will open your eyes.
Absolutely. I always feel like if you learn one thing, you know, like every time I go to a conference and I leave there going, okay, I just want to learn one thing. I always end up learning way more than one thing, but I go in with, you know, can I learn one thing? So yeah, if you guys go to her website, you know, I know her summit was last month, great, great speakers on her summit as well. And again, we can never learn too much, you know, and there's never too much information, especially if you know where to get the information. So you want to go a trusted source and I'm just so grateful that you took the time in your busy day and in your practice to talk to our families and, you know, to spend this time with me. I really enjoyed it. You made me laugh. I feel like I should have had a glass of wine and it was like talking to a girlfriend. So
well, thank you. You know, it's like I am at a place in my life where I'm all about service and it's about giving back, and this is my passion, is to help kids and help families. So, you know, I do whatever I can in that regard, and all the right people will find me, and I'll find all the right people, and it will all work out, but really, I'm here to be of service, so I'm so happy to have provided this information and spent the time with you, and I'm so happy people have listened.
Absolutely. Well, thanks everyone that's listening, and thank you again.